everybody. The presence of God is here.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is here.
Yes.
He's working.
Yes.
I could feel his presence since the very beginning, just getting here. He was here waiting for us.
Yes.
And I don't know your needs this morning, but what I do know is that he's filling all those needs.
Yes, amen.
When we have a sincere heart.
Yes.
And if the Bible says if there's something our God loves, is when his people worship him.
Yes.
And if you paid attention to all those songs, thank you, all of you people who were singing. You know, that's a minister, it's a tremendous minister and responsibility because they minister all of us. We are there, but they are ministering up there. And we could feel what they were saying, playing, and their worshiping, their adoration. It's something we could feel. So thank you, Pastor, because this is a privilege for me. You know, this is not my land, but you are my family.
Amen. That's right.
And when we get to heaven, there will not be any difference in nationalities. So all of us form one family. Doesn't matter if I come from Costa Rica or you come from here, whatever you come from. So this morning, I am so thankful because you know what I was thinking about when we were singing? There are many people in other parts of the world that cannot sing. They're being persecuted. They're being, you know, killed. And this morning, very early, I got a WhatsApp message from my friend in Africa. And he said, he's in Gambia now. And he said, they have 7 more hours than we do here. And he said, maybe you are sleeping, because I had asked him a question yesterday. But he said, I'm just listening. The sound of the Muslims calling for prayer. And they pray 5 times a day, since 5 o'clock in the morning. And you could hear those, you know, callings. And I felt so sad because they said, they don't know what they do, what they're doing. They don't know who they're praising. They don't know. That's why they live so disappointed. And we do have the opportunity to, we know who are we singing to. We know who we are worshiping. We know who we are talking to. We know who we trust in. And sometimes we take everything for granted. So that, you know, makes me be extremely happy this morning.
Yes.
You know, sometimes they, oh, maybe she's sick or she has something, I don't know why she's crying. I'm so happy. Sometimes it's like babies, you know, they cry when they're happy also.
Right.
I'm extremely happy. Right. Well, Pastor asked me this morning to talk about that lesson we had that Wednesday. So I know some of you already listened to it, but you know, God sometimes wants to tell us something once and twice and 3 times, so please be patient because you already listened to part of this. And we're going to talk this morning about why we should thank God. Why we should thank God. There are so many reasons. Yesterday I was telling my daughter, I was telling Mariela, well, I'm going to talk about why we should thank God. She said, oh, mommy, there are millions of things. And that's true. There are millions of things. So we will never finish. If I asked you reasons, it's a non, you know, it's an endless list. And I was, you know, kidding the ladies that Wednesday, and I say, I'm just going to talk about a thousand reasons. Be patient. But that was not true. Four reasons, if I have time, four reasons. And we all agree, we sin, we all agree about God being our creator, right? Our father. Susan said, let's declare the word. Declare the word when we sing. We have to sing with understanding what we're singing. And there's a declaration of the Lord that says that like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. Amen. Jeremiah 18:6 is not there. So do we feel like clay? Do you feel like clay in his hands? Yes or no? He's working with us. He's doing things with us. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes, Pastor was saying, some people are sick, we suffer, we undergo a lot of situations, but he's working. He's in control of everything. He is the potter. Are we going to tell the potter what to do with us? Well, some people have. Some people have told him, no, God, don't do that, please. Or I just want this and this and this. Come on, the clay cannot talk to the potter. Just be there and let him do whatever he wants him to do. So, the first reason, maybe this is going to sound a little strange for you, but the first reason is why we should thank God is because it is an, remember? It is an order. It is an order. You say, oh, come on. God is not going to give me an order. I pray if I want to or not. No, it's an order. If we go to Ephesians 5, 18, 20, and that is there, Ephesians 5. You can see it there. It says, 18, do not drink, you know, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. That's what we did today. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Yes. That's what we sang today. And, of course, we can feel because the Spirit does not have a language. But when I sing in Spanish, I can feel it more. And I'm sure when you feel in Spanish, you don't feel as much as you feel when you speak in English because it's your language. But it says, with hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from the heart. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, aren't these orders, am I mistaken? When he says, do not drink. Is that an order? Is God saying, please, I want to ask you a favor. Please, don't do. No, he says, don't drink. Don't do this, don't do that. Do this and do that. Yeah. When we talk, generally we talk about commandments and we think it's just 10 commandments. No, there are too many. There are hundreds. And we need to follow each one. So, that's the first reason. Verse 20 says, when to give thanks? When you feel fine, when you're not sick, when your fingers do not hurt, I appreciate your effort. No, always. You know what always means? Always, 10% of the time. That most. It's not some of the time, most of the time. It's all of the time. And what for? What do we give thanks for? What for? For the the air, for their health, for good things. Choose for good things. And everything means
everything.
You know, Mariela and I were watching a movie and in our apartment about what's his name? The Queen, Mariela? Queen? It was about the Queen of England. And after Princess Diana died. And you know, I was so shocked. I said, my goodness, whatever the Queen says, everybody has to do that. Even the Prime Minister, he knew she was doing things wrong, but he said, this is my advice, but you are the Queen. I was so surprised. Even the dogs, she put the food and she said, stop. And they stopped. Now you can eat. So that kind of funny, but you know, when somebody has the power, and I told the ladies that day, we don't have an army in Costa Rica, we don't have, you know, we don't know what the army is, to being a military or whatever. But you do here. When you go to the army, you cannot tell your, the almirant or the captain or whatever, you cannot, if he says, get up at 5, you say, oh no, I generally get up at 6. And, I'm hungry, I need to go to the dining room. He said, no, it's not time to go there. They have a time for sleeping, for eating, for taking a bath or a shower, for every single thing, and they cannot change that. And we want to do that with our God sometimes. So, is that clear? First reason, I'm going to try to go more quickly. Second reason, being thankful means to recognize or to be aware of our dependence on Him.
Yes.
So, His sovereignty, did I say it correctly? That's a difficult word for me. His sovereignty. And we're going to read James 1:17. When we are thankful, that's a recognition. We are telling Him, you are the chief. You are the boss. You are the Father, you are the Creator, you are, you know. That's a way to accept. We depend on Him, not on us, not on any other person, not on the job, not on the government, on Him. It says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming to the Father, and the Father never changes. He never wakes up and like we do and say, today I don't feel fine today. I feel kind of angry today. I have a headache today. He never changes. He's always the same. Loving Father, you know, is the same. And His plans and His thoughts are always the same. Good. All good things come from Him. When we recognize this, we surrender to God.
Amen.
What happened to people who didn't recognize the Lord? Matthew 13:58 is not there, but it says that Jesus went to this place and He couldn't do any miracles because the lack of faith those people had. So the lack of faith stops miracles. When we sing and we say, you do miracles, you are great, you are everything we sang this morning. But if you don't believe it, nothing happens. Three, it's a way, giving thanks, being thankful, is a way to worship. It's a way of adoration. It's a way to honor our God. When we say, thank you, we are saying, I know you did everything. You're doing everything. You're going to do everything thinking of me for my good. Let's read Psalms 100, verse 4. 100, verse 4.
It says,
enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So every time we come here, we come to church, or if you are in your bedroom or your kitchen or whatever you are, and you are praising, you are keep saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. What are you doing? You are honoring him. Amen. So giving thanks is a way of honoring,
right,
of worship. Worshiping is not just, you know, raise your hands. No. The best way is being grateful. That's the word. The opposite of worship is, remember, the opposite of worship is complaining. Remember?
Yes.
Complaining makes us blind.
True.
We don't see the blessings because we are complaining. We just see the torment. We see the problem. We see what is around us, like the disciples on the ship, you know, on the boat. So we are complaining, and we are not conscious that Jesus is there on the ship with us. And nothing is going to happen to us. So complaining makes us blind, opens door to defeat, and to stop the blessing and to disbelieve. Because if you are complaining, why are you complaining? Because you don't think, you don't believe God is going to solve your problem.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's not just a matter of solving a problem. The thing is that his will is always perfect and good. I was talking to Judy the other day, and we were talking about that and saying, and to Pastor and Chrissy, sometimes people say, God didn't answer me. I have prayed for this so many times. Yes, he did, but he said no.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that sometimes I have heard many preachers saying, God never says no. That's not true. That's a lie from the enemy to make you, you know, feel defeated. That's not true. Sometimes God says no. Oh, it's not the time.
Right.
Because if God always said yes, imagine, we would go directly to hell. Yes.
That's the truth.
Yeah, like children. We need to tell our children no many times. She can say that. She was a very quiet, you know, girl, but I had to tell her many times no. And she was generally saying, okay, mommy. But I remember a couple of times that she was very angry. And I remember one, excuse me, I'm going to talk about you because you're here. And she said, mommy, there's going to be a party, you know, pajama party, and I want to go to the party. She was like in sixth grade, 12 years old. And I said, what? A party? No, you're not going. Why not? Everybody's going. Choose not. Why not? I want to go there. Well, choose me. I am the only one that. And I said, no, you're not going. I don't know those people. And she said, well, but you and Daddy can take me there, because that's what we used to do when she had a party. We used to take her and then pick her up. Thank you. But not a whole night. And I said, no. And she cried, and she was so sad. And I said, my God. You know, I always tell my children, sometimes we do things that hurt us more than it hurt you. And they say, oh, my son says, ah, oh, mommy, that's not true. I don't believe parents. They always say that it's painful for them, but I don't believe that. That's not all, though, my son. They don't understand, but that's the way it is. Sometimes when they go under some situations, we would be to be in their place. And that's what our Father does for us.
Right.
Yeah. After?
Yeah. Amen. That's true. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. That's wonderful.
Thank you. That's why we need to always say thank you. Doesn't matter if I don't understand.
That's right.
Because we don't need to understand everything God does.
Amen.
Do you think I understand why I fell down? And I was in pain, terrible pain for 2 weeks. and I'm getting better every day. I don't understand, but thank God, because there was a purpose. I was telling about what I think the purpose was to pastor. I'm not going to talk about that. So, I can remember 1 Kings 19:4. I don't know if it's there or not, but it's just, I'm just going to mention, I don't want to read it. This is the story of Elijah. Did you remember Elijah, the prophet? Elijah, you know what he did? He was great, he powerful. God gave him powerful and everything. But one day after, you know, this thing of, with those prophets, fake prophets and everything, he was told that Jezebel, this woman, was going to kill him. So he went, and 1 Kings 19, it says that he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed, imagine our prayers, that he might die. And he said, I have had enough, Lord. That's enough, Lord. I can't stand this situation anymore. Why am I always suffering? Why did my daughter got this sickness? Why did my husband left? Why da 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 da? I cannot stop, Lord. This is enough. The clay talking to the potter. And Elisha said, see, he said, take my life. Excuse me. Take my life. I'm not better than my parents. 1 Kings 19:4. He wanted to die. Imagine. And I remember once I told the Lord, I would prefer to be dead because I had a tumor in my brain. And I said, I would prefer to be dead. But we should never pray in that direction because our life is not ours. It belongs to him. We are his property. We do not belong to us anymore. That's why I always say that we don't have a free will, and people say, oh, no, wait a minute. I don't agree with that. I can do whatever I want to. No, when you surrender, your will is not important anymore. It's the example in the army. Uh-huh. Or your boss. Your boss does not care if you're hungry or not. Uh-huh. Yesterday we had plans, my daughter and I. And she said, maybe I'm going to finish at 12 so we can go to the place we wanted to go. And then she said, well, maybe at 2, maybe at 5. And she finished at 8. Oh, at 8. And I said, it's okay. We can go tomorrow. She could not tell her boss, oh, no, I had plans with my mom. I'm not going to work after 2.
That's right.
She'll be fired. And you know, the worst thing is that we are so tiny creatures, and our thoughts are so tiny and are so different from God's, that the best thing that impresses me, and that, you know, it's something that I admire, you know, God is so amazing, that Elisha was saying that he wanted to die, but he didn't know that he was not going to die. Imagine. He didn't die. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. What happened to Elijah? He was taken. It was a chariot of fire that separated him from Elijah. And he went up in a, what do you call it?
Whirlwind.
He went to heaven. So he was saying, I want to die. He was going to lose that blessing. There were only 2 people in the Bible, in the whole story of humanity, who didn't see death. He was one. He didn't know what he was saying. Okay, I'm going to stop you. That's 3. So let's go to 4. You tell me when I have a half an hour. The act of thanking brings personal an astonishing blessing. And I told my sisters that day, this is the best one for me. It was like a revelation, you know. I had to surrender and pray and say, God, dear God. Because it's in Luke 17:14-19. I'm not going to read the story, but this is the story of the 10 lepers that went to find Jesus, and Jesus healed one of them. Do you remember the story? So I'm not going to read it. But what I want to emphasize is, first of all, it says, let's see the verse. Verse 14, thing. It says that there were ten lepers, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. They could not be near Jesus. They could not be in touch with people. They could not be in touch with their families. They were isolated, in complete isolation. They lost their jobs, they lost their families, they lost everything. And they had to go, you know, with, they could not cover their head, which is something the law asked men to do, because they didn't have any authority anymore. They didn't represent anything. And they had to, their clothes were torn. That was what the law said. So they were like beggars. So they stood far. But they knew that they have heard about Jesus. So they stood far. And he said, "Hey, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Oh, don't call me. You are unclean. Go away from me." No. He said, what did they want? To be healed, of course. Jesus said, okay, go to the priest and show yourself. You know the story. And they did go. But you know, these people, this is something I want to explain. I want this to be very clear in your minds. Ten were healed. But just how many came back to say thank you?
One.
Just one. Just one. Okay. And this one, it says that one of them, when he saw he was healed, come back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, where are the others? Weren't there nine? And I ask myself sometimes, God, is that what is happening sometimes? That just 1%, one out of 10 people are thankful, are grateful, and not the other ones because they are complaining and looking at the difficulties and those, you know, horrible things around you. You know something very sad about these people. That's why I called my friend in Africa to ask him something about that. Because I have read a lot, but what we read is not the truth. Because leprosy has a cure now, but well, it's a kind of leprosy. The one in the Bible, the biblical times is even worse. But in our modern world, there's leprosy, still in many countries, but it has a cure. If they discover by blood tests that the person is suffering, you know, they can give that person treatment, and it's not going to be contagious, and they can, you know, be restored. But not at that time. There was no medicine for that. And something very, very sad. Lepers had to cry out. They had to stand away from people. And they had to go with a bell, you know, ringing the bell for everybody to know that they were coming so people would run away from them. And I read that in the Middle Ages, they were forced to use like, this is not, but it's going to work. Like some boards, wooden boards, and they had to go doing like this. And clean 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 and clean. Imagine with your torn clothes.
Wow.
They had to do it because otherwise they were going to, I don't know, the punishment, be killed or I don't know. Because they were contagious. Imagine if you had to go, you know, everywhere in the middle of this, whatever you go and say, I'm unclean, don't get to me because I'm sick or I am whatever. And I told them the other day that, and that's why my friend told me today also, I've seen these people in Senegal. And it is so sad. You don't have an idea of how sad it is. They are beggars. Maybe they, in the 50s and 60s, they got the sickness, and still many people in Africa, they still go, you know, begging, and they have medicines in some places, but they got the medicine so late that the effects are on them. And some others never. They die because of leprosy. Like, I went to a place, I lived in a village that is 1,000 kilometers from Dakar, the capital of Senegal. So nobody wants to go there. You know, even the office in Costa Rica that has to do with missions, the director told me, Doña Ligia, what are you going to do there? Don't go there. There's nothing to do there. Why don't you go to another missionaries? Why don't you go to Gambia or another place? Don't go there. And the missionaries in the car, they didn't visit my friend over there. Imagine the situation. But I could see lots of those lepers, and I told them the consequences of the sickness make people, they change a person into another being. It's completely another being. It's another person. They are so, what you say, like repulsive, like you cannot even look at them because it is disgusting. You know, they have problems not only on their skin. They have spots, and at the beginning, in some part of the sickness, it hurts a lot. But then there's no sensitivity. They don't feel anything. They get injured. They get burned. They have so many problems because they don't feel anything. Let me see if I can use the words I have here. Well, they have problems in their skin, their nerves, their eyes, their bones, their nasal membranes. So when you see, when you look at them, some of them, they don't have eyebrows, they don't have eyelashes, and they have this like infections between fingers and feet. Okay, 10 more minutes and I'll finish. And and the flesh gets like rotten, and they smell so awful. You don't have an idea how they smell. And they are there begging for a coin. And people just throw it. They don't get near them. If they get some medicine, they are supposed not to be contagious anymore, but people don't want to be in touch with them. And when you see those people, I was telling them, with no fingers or no hand or no toes or no foot, and they're there. And you know, the gums shrink, and so they don't get, they lose all their teeth, and they have tumors. It's so terrible, you know, their situation, that I can understand why that leper went back to Jesus, and he said that he went back to say that is an act of giving thanks. He was crying in a loud voice. When, imagine those people going, I have that scene in my mind. Those people, they were going to the priest. One of a sudden they see they are clean. They don't have those ulcers anymore. they were one helping the other one because maybe this one does not have the food or the hands or whatever. And they suffer blindness because the eyes are really affected. Some of them could not see. And one of a sudden, the one who could not see was seeing. The one that did not have fingers had fingers, had bones, no bones, no fingers, no toes, no feet. They got new eyebrows, they got new eyelashes, they got new eyes, they got new everything. That's what God does for you. That's why the Bible compares leprosy with sin. Because that's what God has done for us. He cleaned us. And he changed us from death to life, and from darkness to light, from death to life, and from all those situations. And sometimes we are complaining because of, I complain, my back hurts because I cannot move I still cannot move my arm, like go up. That's nothing. That's nothing. I don't see myself, without my fingers or my feet or, those faces or my teeth or my nose. At the beginning, the nose becomes like one single piece, and then it fails, and their ears fail. So imagine, and this one went back to Jesus, and he said, he was crying loudly, saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Every time he saw his feet, he saw his arms, he saw his, and maybe he was blind, I don't know, we don't know. The Bible does not go into details, but we know that's the way they used to live. Yes. That's why they had to stand far from Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now we can go and be near him. Amen. Be into the real presence of our God. Hallelujah. Shouldn't we be thankful?
Amen. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I told them the other time, when I saw those people, in those children, because children always suffer. They are homeless. They are asking for money. Because their religion, Islam, they send, parents give their children to the witch, in all taxes in the cities, they have this picture of their chief, okay? And so that person takes the children, but he sends them to us. They go with like plastic bowl asking for rice or something. Sometimes the rice fell on the street, in the middle of the street. They put it again with the soil. And if they get one coin, they feel so happy. They are abused by others. And they learn to abuse others. They don't eat. And it's because they say that Islam, they say, the Quran says that you need to be generous. Imagine how they turn things over. You have to be generous. So since you have to be generous to prove your generosity, they need to send children for you to give them something. Come on. That's what the enemy does. He mixes everything.
That's right.
And when I saw them and those old women there, I said, and that's what I always think when I see those people suffering. What is the difference between that person and me? What is the difference between that? Imagine a person that way enters here. What are you going to do? You move. What is the difference between that person and you, and you, and you, and me?
Yes.
Just His grace.
That's right.
Just His grace. Right. No more than that. He's not because we are beautiful, or it's not because we are the money, or as I always say, in this country, you have lots of material things that we don't have in our countries, and you take them for granted. Have you ever said, thank you, God, because we have this beautiful place for to sit?
Thank you, Lord.
As Pastor was saying the other day, thank you for the air conditioning. Thank you for the heat. The heat in church today, in the Middle East and many other places, Morocco and other countries, they have to hide to praise God. If they are found, they die. So they have to go like in basements. Everything is dark. And, well, I'll not continue because I need to finish now. So, think about that leopard. And don't forget, please, my dear sisters and brothers, to give thanks every single day since the moment you open your eyes. Because you look, I see you from here, and all of you are beautiful and handsome. I'm not afraid to get near Sue or Lucy or whoever of you. And you know, Ticos, Costa Rican people, we love to hug people. I know you don't, but you tolerate me. Because we love to hug people and to kiss people, and I know you are not that so near as we are. But imagine if you were that way. Why, as I was telling them the other day, we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know? My daughter said, yesterday I made some typical food, the rice and beans, gallo pinto. And when she finished it, thank you, Mommy, it was good. It was good. And I felt happy. But if she had said, thank you, I would have said, what happened? I did my best. I did my best, but she didn't like it. Or she is grateful. There are lots of ungrateful people. And we are not. Children of God are not, because we had gotten so many things. So many, I'm not talking about the air and the sun. And you know, the most important thing here, you know what is? What is it? Why? I said that being thankful, an act of being thankful, brings an astonishing and a marvelous and a blessing that goes beyond that. Because the sun rises every day for just and unjust, for good and bad people, and the air and everything. But when you go to God and you say, thank you, God, and you do these acts of giving thanks, you get more than that. Yeah. You get a blessing that other people don't, because there are blessings that are only for children of God.
That's right.
Some people don't like to listen to that, and they say, we all are children of God. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. We are creatures of God. But we are. In this church, we are. But there are many people that aren't. So they don't get those special blessings. That leper, when he went back, what did Jesus tell him? Your faith has, okay, that's NIV, made you well. In other verses said, your faith has saved you.
Amen.
Sometimes this word means the same. Being well means healthy and salvation. But in the, I was studying last two nights before, because I wanted to be sure for today. I was not that Wednesday, but I wanted to be sure. And I said, I'm going to go to the original. And they are sure, you know, the people who study the Bible and write comments, that in Greek, what it wanted to mean, that word was salvation.
Wow.
All of them were healed. All of them got fingers and eyes and eyebrows and hair and everything. But they didn't go saved, which is the most precious gift we can get. I don't want to have a lot of clothing and shoes and without salvation. What is man going to do if he wins the whole world but he loses his soul?
Right.
Nothing.
That's right.
So, I learned that when I give thanks, when I say thankful, and when I do act of thank, you know, of gratefulness, I get the extra blessing. A blessing that comes directly from the Olam, you know, Olam and Jewish. It's from the very throne of God, our Master, our Lord, the All Almighty, who can do everything. There's not anything impossible for Him. And we are this size in the universe, but He's worried about you and about me. Why do I have to be worried? Why? If He is in charge of everything, just if we practice this more, giving thanks every day, we will get more and more and more. We give thanks and we get more. We give thanks and we get more. We give thanks and we get more. That's the way He operates. That's the way it works. Because we are not talking to a dead God, like Muslim, like those Muslim people. By the way, please pray for them. They are having a meeting now, an annual meeting, and many people there, they're Muslims, and we are praying for God to do something in Gambia, and then after that, they're going to Senegal, but now they are in Gambia. Please pray for us, because if it were just Islam, let's say, well, just Islam, but they have a mix, because when you don't do what the word says, the enemy gets, and he makes this mess up.
Yes.
So they believe. They are Muslim, but they are, what's the word? They believe in animation, you know. It's like everything is a god for them. The river, you know, that can be a god, and there are spirits in the river. If you go to the forest, there are spirits in the forest that are going to get you get lost. And there are other, and there's also witchery. They have voodoo. And I saw. Two women that the witch made them crazy because their husbands pay for that. They have power. We don't understand. Sometimes Christians, we don't understand that the enemy has power. We say, oh, the enemy is just a cockroach that I could step on him. And no, that's not true. He does have power. But the one that is in us is greater than everything, than every God, than every spirit, than Satan, and than everything. But the thing is, are we grateful? Are we in connection with Him? Are we, you know, do we have this relationship with Him? Because then nothing that happens is going to worry us. And I promise I'll finish now. This is the last reason. Number 5. Being thankful, giving thanks, is a way to resist and to defeat the enemy.
Yes.
The enemy loves our complaints. You know, when we complain, we are creating an atmosphere for him.
That's true.
And some people, I don't adore the enemy. No, I'm not honored the enemy. Yes, you do. Yes,
that's
well,
true.
Not you. People do.
That's true.
People do when they complain. Mm-hmm. The enemy cannot tolerate our worship.
Uh-huh. That's right.
When we worship, like this morning, I was so touched. That, you know, the praising this morning. When we praise, he has to leave.
Right.
He can't.
Amen.
His ears cannot stand that. And my father was a pastor, and he used to say, and I always said, my father is wrong, you know, when I was a little kid, because my father said, be careful, because the enemy sometimes, he gets and sits on the first pew. I said, that's not true. But then I learned that sometimes it is true. But when the people of God begin praising the Lord and creating this atmosphere, I don't care if there were 10 or 100 demons, they have to flee away. They have to go away.
Right.
They can't be with us.
Right.
There's no mix.
Right.
Even if some little sister or little brother comes here with something in themselves, this is not a land for him. Uh-huh. This is his land. And we are his property. Amen. And so giving thanks is like a key to open the door of heaven for those blessings. Yep. Of course, I'm not saying we don't have to be, to live in righteousness, to be pure, to be holy. I'm not saying that. But generally, you know, this act of giving thanks comes from a person that lives, you know, as a pure person, yeah, who lives in, you know, in a righteous way. Yeah. Because people who don't, I don't believe they don't say thank too much, too often. They don't. Right. They don't have the ability to do it. They don't have the power to do it. Because imagine, if yesterday my daughter had taken that gallo pinto, rice and beans, it's supposed she didn't like it. So she took it and threw it to the garbage. She cannot come to me and say, Mommy, thank you. It was so good. No, she can say, thank you. But she's not going to say, it was so good. She enjoyed it because she ate it. But when you are playing with God, when people are praying with God, they cannot be thankful. Not at this degree, like the leper. You know, like say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, every single day. Thank you because you are my Father, because I'm relying on you, because I depend on you. I declare that I am a totally dependent person on you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And that is the last reason. We want to defeat the enemy.
Yes, we do.
Well, begin saying thank you. Psalms 30, 11 and 20. We are not going to read it, but it talks about changing my pain in dancing.
Yes.
There are people that are always playing and complaining and complaining and complaining.
Uh-huh.
And you ask, how are you? Well, no, the way God wants. That's not the way God wants.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? More or less, you know, life is so difficult. And, you know, I have a lot of trials. Complaining. I'm not telling you have to lie.
Right, right.
If I have something, if I am sick, well, that's the Bible says, go to the pastor, people, you know,
right,
the elders,
right,
and ask them to pray for you,
yes,
and,
yes,
you know, the answer. So we have all answers,
uh-huh,
in the Bible.
True.
Instead of being complaining.
That's right.
And then it says, Lord, it says, you remove, you clothe me with joy. It is like a dress. You wouldn't come to church naked, right? Nobody. Pastor is going to throw you away. Or call the, you know, say, there's a crazy person here. But when we come here giving thanks, he clothes us with joy. Complaining brings sadness. And Pastor has been talking about joy. We have to be joyful. I'm not saying happy, because happy is another thing.
Right.
Depends on circumstances. But the joy from the Spirit is in you, no matter what.
That's right.
No matter what. He closes me with joy. That my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. And the last thing, Psalms 150:6, let everything that has breathed,
yes,
praise the Lord. Are you breathing this morning?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
What's the order for those who breathe? Praise the Lord. Say thank you. Today,
yes,
tomorrow, in the morning, the first thing,
yes,
sometimes the first thing we do is to take a look at the iPod or the tablet or the iPhone and see the messages and see everything. No, go to the Lord first.
Yes.
Thank you, like if you were like if you had been a leper, because all of us were lepers sometimes.
That's right.
You and I, we were lepers sometimes. You and I were, I was in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you know that? That was a secret, Susie. Don't say you knew it.
For real jail.
I was in jail. And you too. All of us. And we were free. So thank you, God. 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 Every day, every moment, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.